When Simona Dinerstein was 33 years old, she scraped together the cash to record her own CD. Not so unusual for an indie rock singer-songwriter, but Dinerstein is a classical pianist. And the piece she chose to record was Bach's Goldberg Variations. That's aiming pretty high, since it's one of the most famous works in the piano repertoire, and there's a definitive version by Glenn Gould recorded 20 years before Dinerstein was born. But a major label picked up her version, and it went on to reach number one on the Billboard Classical chart. Now that major label, Sony Classical, is releasing another collection of Bach recordings by Dinerstein. It comes out in January, and it's called Bach, A Strange Beauty. I spoke with Simona Dinerstein a couple of years ago when her Goldberg Variations had just made her the it girl of the classical music world. Simona, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me.
Which of the 30 variations are you going to play for us today?
I was thinking of playing Variation 28, which is one of my favorites.
How come?
You know, you've gone through this whole journey, and then the sound of this one, it's almost like the stars coming out. It's very twinkly, and it has a beautiful kind of songfulness to it that is really incredible at that moment, having played all the other 27 variations before it.
Well, let's listen to number 28 of Bach's Goldberg Variations, performed here in our studio by Simona Dinerstein.
Thank you.
That was Simona Dinnerstein playing number 28 of Bach's Goldberg Variations. Tell me, Glenn Gould's performances, for instance, was that a burden of the past as you played? Like, oh, I have to do it this way or that way, unlike Gould?
Well, I had to stop listening to all of that because I find it very easy to be influenced by what I hear. I mean, I grew up being taught to be influenced by what I heard. You know, that's how teachers teach, is they play it and then you copy them. And with Gould, that really kept me away from playing this piece and from Bach in general in many ways, because I was so struck by the way he played, but it was so clearly his own style that could not be imitated. And so I had to kind of stop listening to it and almost try to forget it so that I could hear the music apart from what had happened. And I didn't think, well, he did it this way, so I should do it this way. It was literally, forget that you ever heard Glenn Gould, forget you ever heard Rosalind Turek, and let's see what the music says. Now, of course, it's all in me. It's, you know, in my bones, having heard all of this music and lots of music. I mean, you know, even jazz and whatever, it's all there. But it's how you then respond to those notes as you're playing, and to have a sort of fresh approach to it, to not feel like you're carrying the baggage of all those other performers.
Speaking of jazz versions, there is the Jacques Lussier's trio version of Goldberg Variations. So let's listen to their version of number 28, which you just played for us.
One of the things that strikes me about this recording is how the three of them, you know, the percussion, the piano, and the bass, are listening to each other and responding to the sonorities of this music. And I hear those sonorities that they're doing when I'm playing it straight on the piano. I think that all of those sounds are kind of in the music. They're almost like in the overtones, or I don't know, there's something. It makes a lot of sense to me how they do it. Yeah.
Let's also listen to a selection of the variations arranged by Uri Kane. This is Uri Kane's Hallelujah Variation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's fabulous that he, you know, found it as a sort of a jumping off point for all these different things. To me, what he was doing was saying this music could go through every culture and genre and inspire a reaction.
We've talked about Glenn Gould's version, which came out more than a half century ago. What was so extraordinary about that? Why was that for so many years the one that we were supposed to know and listen to?
I think that playing that he did in 1955 on that recording was so new and startling and so different than the kind of romanticism that people were used to. I'm not an authority on 1955, but I'm just thinking that, you know, you're starting to get into an era where you're starting to be aware of machines, of technology, and I think that there's a real connection between his playing and technology. God, people are going to kill me, but it feels a little cold to me sometimes. Like, sometimes I feel like...
Like a machine, I guess.
Personally, I absolutely love the later one that he did. I mean, the 1955 is great, but 81...
And what makes you like that better?
I feel like it is more meditative. And it's more expansive, and there's an incredible relationship between the variations. There's a sense of the whole piece. It's uncanny that he then, you know, died so shortly afterwards. I just feel like that there's a kind of meaning to that recording that's very different.
Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
You can hear another piece that Simona Dinnerstein recorded for us at studio360.org. Her album, Bach, A Strange Beauty, comes out January 18th.